All right, welcome back to KNBR. Marty Larry, Bill Lasky talking baseball. We're going to move on right along with the Colorado Rockies. Thomas Harding writes for the MLB.com. He's a beat writer. Let's bring in Thomas. Good morning, Thomas. How are you doing today?
I feel good, feel clean out here in Denver. Nice day. I'm appreciating relatively clear skies, which all of us in the West have dealt with things other than clear skies. So I'm appreciating this today.
Well, the Colorado Rockies hit a buzzsaw. Boy, the L.A. Dodgers came in there and whipped them pretty good, got one more game today. But they moved out to San Francisco for four and end up in Arizona. One of the players that Colorado's picked up is a big-time Giants fan base special person, and that's Kevin Pillar. And I was looking at his numbers, and Kevin Pillar in Boston was hitting .274, but he has turned it on as a Rocky in 58 games. Two doubles, a triple, a home run, playing extremely well. Tell us your thoughts on what you like in Kevin Pillar.
Well, what I like in him is that he just knows what he's doing. I mean, they had a lot of younger players that their at-bats were kind of variable there. And Kevin Pillar, when he's in the batter's box, he knows what he's doing. He obviously is an excellent fielder. He's gotten used to Coors Field a bit, made some nice plays out here, but definitely with that that bit of a veteran presence, it does help a team. I mean, the Rockies aren't playing very well right now, but it certainly isn't Kevin Pillar's problem.
Thomas, nice to have you with us. I was looking forward to the Rockies-Giants series as one that maybe to determine who gets in. But I think the Rockies got blasted by the Dodgers, and they're finished now. But what happened to the Rockies? They never hit. Arenado never really hit, and for a team that's known for their hitting, it seemed like they pitched fairly well, but they just never hit.
That is the mystery of this season. Now, Arenado, it's a little bit less of a mystery because last Sunday he finally revealed that he's been playing through a left shoulder AC joint injury throughout the entire year. And then when you try to compare that to what was going on, a lot of balls that got to the warning track and didn't go out, or a lot of contact that looked like Arenado-type swings, but the ball didn't come off the bat that way. The left shoulder is the lead shoulder, and, yeah, that's a problem. But if you look at Charlie Blackman, he was a house of fire to start the year, then went really cold. Trevor Story, he's had the best year of anybody, but it hasn't really been that impactful of a year. And then going into the year, you thought the lower part of the order would struggle a bit. So when those guys are struggling and the heart of the order struggling, this is what you get. They had a couple of guys they expected to take the next step this year, Ryan McMahon and David Dahl. Well, David Dahl spent most of the year hurt. Ryan McMahon has spent most of the year dealing with strikeouts. So Throughout the lineup, it's been a struggle. I remember a couple days ago, I asked Bud Black, do you move Nolan out of the cleanup spot? And he's like, well, you got to give your best hitters the most at-bats. But then he told the really telling quote of the whole interview where he said, it's not like we have a lot of options to put people there.
You know, one of the players that stands out in this lineup is Josh Fuentes, who is your first baseman. He's a really good defensive player, but he's hitting the ball pretty well, hitting .323, playing every day. A guy in the bottom of that lineup that's really holding his own. Tell me a little bit about Fuentes.
Yeah, he's the type that I think that he'll get a shot at settling this first base situation in Colorado, which really hasn't been settled on a long-term basis since Todd Helton retired. So that was quite a while ago. But if you look at him, he's a excellent athlete and a much better hitter than I think people thought he would be. Let's face it, he was undrafted coming out of Missouri Baptist University, and his cousin, who happens to be Nolan Arenado, recommended him to the front office, and they signed him as a non-drafted free agent. But this is a guy who, it looks like he has a pretty good idea in the batter's box. Now, when I look at him, he hasn't walked much. In fact, only one time. But he really hasn't struck out that much either. So you've got a guy that knows what he's doing, and he's a pretty good athlete. And I think his presence at first base has helped the infield because Daniel Murphy, who struggled as a second baseman, struggled every bit as much as a first baseman.
Thomas, what's the future for the Rockies? You know, I know this is one of the crazy year, and they got off to such a good start. Now they've really hit the skids once again, and we'll see them for four this week. Well, what's the future look like for the Rockies? Have they developed anything this year that you like?
Not really. I mean, some other than Ramel Tapia at the top of the lineup and a couple of satellite type guy stories. I'm not sure where this team is headed. I mean, you look at the starting lineup, and yeah, it should hit, but it hasn't. And frankly, it didn't really hit last season either. So you went from a team that used its pitching to get to the playoffs for two straight years to a team that hasn't done much in the last 2 years. And this year, unlike last year, they really pitched for a Colorado team. They've been up there in the National League in innings pitched from their starters and in quality starts. So a couple of things that they need. They need more depth, a stronger lineup and more depth. They also need to retool the bullpen. They don't even have a left-handed pitcher in the bullpen. Can these things be done over the offseason? And the question that's going to be continually asked of the Rockies is, can they do it without trading big guns like Nolan Arenado, Trevor Story, or some of the guys that they really feel good about, whether it's a John Gray, Antonio Senzatella, David Dahl? Should they, in other words, retool by getting multiple parts for people that they like, or should they stay with what they have and see if they can't just build around it? And that's going to be a big question.
That voice you're hearing is Thomas Harding. He's a beat writer for the Colorado Rockies. You can read his work on MLB.com. One of the articles you just wrote yesterday, Thomas, was about the starting staff and about the three starters that are probably going to be linked in for next year. And you also talked a little bit about John Gray, who is now on the IL with shoulder inflammation. And one of the other things is Chichi Rodriguez, who threw the ball pretty well, even though he got the loss. Tell us about the starting staff and some of the possibilities that could change in 2021.
Well, first of all, you made the mistake that probably most people make. Chichi Gonzalez, not Rodriguez.
And I'm always like that.
Yes.
Marty knows that. Me and names, man. I just, you know, it sounds okay, though.
Well, yeah, it sounds great, man. It sounds great, yeah. And his actual name is Alexander, and I believe it was his grandfather who gave him that nickname for that Chichi Gonzalez, Chichi Rodriguez thing. But I like this starting rotation. Herman Marquez, who will pitch the opener at San Francisco tomorrow, I think that his numbers, 2-6, 4.33, really don't say how well he's pitched. He had one game where he gave up 10 runs against the Astros, and that drove it up. Almost every game, he has the team in it with a chance to win. And if anything, the 2-6 says they haven't hit behind him, and the bullpen's been iffy. He's pitched really well for them. Kyle Freeland is back to what he was in 2017 when he was a Cy Young Award candidate. The guy that I like a lot is pitching today, actually, and that's Antonio Senzatella, who had a complete game against the Oakland A's last time out. And he seems to be that old-fashioned type pitcher that can get you 7, 8, 9 every time they go into it. Those are three to build around, and I really believe that if Gray is healthy, because he was healthy most of last year until he broke his foot in August, if he can stay healthy for a full year, and this shoulder thing isn't the beginning of problems in the arm because he's never had them, I think that they have four starting pitchers that are pretty good. Chichi Gonzalez, certainly, he was a former number one pick of the Texas Rangers, and you can see the pedigree there, but he's never had that full big league season, and they do have some prospects behind them. But, like I say, it goes back to if you're trying to retool this team and maybe build something, even if you have to take a step step back that lasts a few years, do you have to give up a Gray? Do you have to give up a Senzatella? Marquez is signed for the next few years. I know that the industry is going to come after Kyle Freeland. I find it very hard for them to trade away someone who grew up in Denver, a Rockies fan, and has been one of their best pitchers. I find it very hard for them to trade him away, but he is the type that would get them the most on the trade market.
Dodgers, Padres, who are you taking?
Ooh. I'll tell you what, up until about 2 weeks ago, I said Dodgers, and maybe the Dodgers will find, you know, maybe the Dodgers will find a way to win the World Series. But when I watch the Dodgers, I see this as a well put together team, but I also see slumps happening in the postseason, and defensively, at times, I think them being so multi-positional, creates a bit of weakness in games that you really need, i.e. playoff games. The Padres are very good. They just haven't done it before. They do have the swagger to knock off people in the postseason. So I'm going to say still Dodgers because they've been there before, but it's not like there's a huge separation in those two teams. And I like the swagger of the lineup of the Padres. Mm.
Thanks, well, Thomas. Have a good day.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yep, Thomas, thank you. We appreciate your time today. And if the fan cutouts could stand, they would be applauding the Willie Mack Award, Kevin Pillar, if he comes up to bat tomorrow. So it's a good time, Thomas. Thanks again, my friend.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Thanks, right. Thomas.
Thomas, you know, Marty, I would do Chichi Rodriguez instead of Gonzalez.
I know. I think I met Chichi Rodriguez. I can't remember when I went the Hall of Fame a couple of years ago. He was there with Orlando.
I love that putter when he put it in his pocket. Yeah. He did the putter thing.
It's fabulous.